Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining. Tonight we're going to be learning Perek Zayin of Shmuel Aleph. I hope to get through the whole Perek tonight. It's not a very long Perek. It's about 17 psukim. So I hope to get through the whole thing tonight. And we can discuss Shmuel's entry into this interesting development with the Plishtim. If we take a look, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, the Navi tells us, Vayavo'u Anshei Kiryas Ye'arim. So the people of Kiryas Ye'arim, now if you remember the story, so what happened was the Aron was, of course, captured by the Plishtim, went to several Plishti cities, Gas, Ekron, etc. They sent it eventually to back to Bnei Yisrael in Beit Shemesh. The people in Beit Shemesh, we learned last week, did not really did not approach it with the right reverence and respect, and therefore they were also punished. And they said, we can't, we don't want to, you know, we can't handle the Aron here, we can't care for it properly. And therefore they sent it to this place called Kiryas Ye'arim. Sent it to a place called Kiryas Ye'arim. So the people of Kiryas Ye'arim come, Vayalu as Aron Hashem, they come and they lift up, they raise up the Aron Hashem, Vayaviu Oso El Beis Avinadov Bagiva. They bring it to the house of this fellow named Avinadov in the Giva. Give us like the valley. So the Malbim says, if we're telling, you know, if the Navi's telling us where Avinadav's house was, so that means either there were two Avinadavs, and it's telling you it's the Avinadav in the Giva, or there were two houses. You know, it was one Avinadav with two houses. But obviously, if the Navi's being specific, so it's coming to tell you something specific about who he was and where he lived. Yes, Elazar Beno Kidshu. And they sanctified Elazar, who was the son of Avinadav. They sanctified him to guard the Aron Hashem. And all the Mefarshim here, Rashi and the Malbim, all talk about the fact that this person had to be sanctified. He had to be uniquely designated and set aside to guard the Aron. And if you remember, you know, this was part of the problem in Beit Shemesh, that there was no one who was really overseeing it. And the people of Bnei Yisrael, they came and they opened it up and they looked at it. You know, again, maybe in their excitement, they went a little bit overboard. But here they wanted someone whose full-time job, this was going to be his full-time job, is just guarding the Aron. The Radak also says that part of his job was not just guarding the Aron, but was also to accord honor to the Aron in the place where it was. So he would sweep, you know, he would sweep the room and he would mop the room and he would, you know, make sure that the area where the Aron was kept, the room and where the Aron was kept, was the upkeep was befitting the Aron Hashem. And essentially you see that here in Kiryas Ye'arim, they're trying to rectify all the problems that existed in Beit Shemesh and obviously before that, to make sure that they're according the proper honor to the Aron. I just want to show you, I found an incredible website. I'm just going to share my screen momentarily. So this website is called HaTanach, HaTanach.com. And what's great about it is that you could see the maps. I think you can see my screen now. So you can see the maps here. You can even search based on, you can look at maps by era, and you can also look at maps based on Prakim and Tanach. So I searched for Shmuel Aleph. This is Perek Zayin. Let's look at Perek Vav for a minute. So here you see Gas and Ekro. Right, here's Gat, that's the Plishti city. Here's Ekron, that's the second Plishti city that they took the Aron to. And then they sent it from there, they sent it to Beit Shemesh. The Beit Shemesh that was in Yehuda, they sent it to Beit Shemesh. And again, in Beit Shemesh, they things were also not going well. They didn't show it the proper respect. So they sent it to Kiryat Ye'arim, which is here. Okay, so this is where a little bit of the geography of where things are. And right now, the Aron is here in Kiryat Ye'arim. I'll just zoom out a little bit so you can see where we're talking about. This is the land of Israel, of course. Let's zoom in and drop more. So here you have the land of Israel. Here's Ashdod, Ashkelon, here's Gaza. So here, Gas and Ekron. Gat and Ekron are right here, kind of a little more east. And the Beit Shemesh a little bit east of them. And Kiryat Ye'arim a little further east. Okay? It's pretty neat. You can also look at the, they have, you can click on this button at the bottom. You can see a modern map. You can see a satellite view. So it's pretty neat. This website, you can check it out yourself on your own time. HaTanach.com. Tanach is spelled here, or HaTanach is spelled HATANAKH. That's the academic spelling of HaTanach. So HaTanach.com, I think it's Machon Herzog, Michlala Herzog, that puts this out. So it's pretty fascinating. We'll maybe come back to the map in a little bit, but that's just by way of introduction to see where we're talking about. It's always good to know where we are and get our bearings. Okay, Pasuk Beis. Vayihim yom sheves ha'aron b'kiryas ye'arim. So it was from the time that the Aaron came and rested in Kiryas ye'arim. Vayirbu ha'yamim. Many days passed. Vayihiyu esrim shana. 20 years passed. Right? The Aaron remained in Kiryas ye'arim for 20 years. Vayinahu kol beis Yisrael acharei Hashem. Interesting word, vayinahu, and all of the mefarshim kind of jump on this and try to figure out what this what the word means. We'll talk about it in a minute. But the Malbim says, you know, that the 20 years here was really 11 years of Shmuel's reign, and we'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end of the parak. 2 years of Shaul. Okay, we haven't learned about Shaul HaMelech yet, but he is coming attractions. So 2 years of Shaul HaMelech and 7 years of David HaMelech. So the 20 years, you know, the Navi here is kind of projecting into the future, but the 20 years are 11 of Shmuel, 2 of Shaul, and 7 of David. And even though there were different leaders, the Aron remained in place in Kiryas Ye'arim for all of these 20 years. Through 7 years of David HaMelech's reign, the Aron remained in Kiryas Ye'arim. When we get to that part of the story, we'll learn what happened to it after that. Okay, so the Aron remains for 20 years. And now, all of a sudden, as the Pasuk concludes, Vayinahu kol beis Yisrael acharei Hashem. So what does that mean, Vayinahu kol beis Yisrael acharei Hashem? And essentially, the Mefarshim say, they give different interpretations for the word Vayinahu, but they all understand that this was something positive. Either it means, some say Vayinahu means that they all drew close to Hashem, Vayinahu kol beis Yisrael acharei Hashem, that the Bnei Yisrael drew close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi says perhaps that's because we're going to learn in a few psukim that Shmuel went out of his way to kind of move around the cities and give, you know, and inspire people and give rebuke to people and teach people in all the different cities he would, you know, travel around. He was kind of like the traveling shofet, as we'll learn. So Rashi says maybe that's because of that, that he was able to bring them closer to Hashem. Another interpretation means that they cried. Vayinahu means that they cried, like Nehi. And they were crying again about their past sins and about doing tshuva. Another interpretation, Vayinahu, that they gathered. They gathered and almost rallied behind Hashem. But this was something good. This was something positive. They're doing tshuva. They're recognizing that their ways were bad. They saw what happened with the sins of Eli's sons. They saw the might of Hashem against the Plishtim. They see what's going on. They are reading they're reading the signs. They're seeing the writing on the wall, and they understand that it's time to come back to Hashem. The Alshich also interestingly points out that because they treated the Aron with the proper respect for 20 years, there was an extra spirit of kedusha that was resting upon Klal Yisrael right now, and that caused them to be loyal to Hashem. That caused them to do tshuva. So it was almost like in the merit of treating the Aron properly, they now had the spiritual fortitude to do tshuva, to follow Hashem once more. And again, you know, says something to us about how we have to treat our Mekomos HaKadoshim, how we have to treat Sifrei Torah, how we have to treat our Aron HaKadosh. Of course, it's not the same level of Kedusha as the Aron that was in the Mishkan, but, you know, for us, that's our Kedusha. And when we treat it properly, we can also, you know, we can also benefit from this extra spirit of Kedusha that rests upon Klal Yisrael when they're doing something right. Okay, so things are good. Things are looking good. They're turning up. 20 years, we seem to be according to proper honor to the Aron. People are doing tshuva. This is, you know, things are good. Yomer Shmuel, now Shmuel comes onto the scene. Pasuk Gimel. Yomer Shmuel al kol beis Yisrael leimor. Shmuel comes and says to the entire Bnei Yisrael, leimor. And leimor is interesting because usually leimor, like Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe leimor, usually that means that Hashem is speaking to Moshe and he wants Moshe to say something. What he's saying, what Hashem is telling Moshe, he wants Moshe to teach, he wants Moshe to repeat. So here, what's Shmuel telling Bnei Yisrael to repeat? What's he telling them to say? Vayomer Shmuel kol beis Yisrael leimor. What's the leimor here? So it's interesting. So one of the Mefarshim, the Alshich, says that the leimor is that Shmuel is looking for a response. know, sometimes rabbis get up, sometimes the shoftim will get up, and they'll give mussar, and they'll tell people, you know, to improve their ways, etc., and then they leave. Shmuel wasn't doing that. Shmuel wanted a response. Shmuel wanted to hear back, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to fix your ways? Well, you know, how are you going to make this better? That's what Shmuel wanted. But Shmuel is coming to Bnei Yisrael. He wants a response. And what's he telling them? Im b'chol levavchem atem shavim el Hashem. If you're doing tshuva with your entire heart, right? Wholeheartedly, you're doing tshuva. Asiru es Elohei hanechar mitochechem. Remove the foreign gods. Remove the Avodah Zarah from within you. The ha'ashtaros, and also the idols. Ashtaros refers to idols. V'hachinu levavchem el Hashem. Prepare your heart to serve Hashem. The ivduhu levado, worship Hashem alone. The atzel eschem yad plishtim. And that will save you from the plishtim. That will save you from the plishtim. So basically, as the Mitzudas David says, you got to get rid of the Avodah Zarah completely. You know, it's not good enough, like we've seen in the past, where Bnei Yisrael does tshuva, but they keep the getchkas in the garage. You know, they keep the idols in the basement. You know, we're not worshiping them. We just have them. No, you got to get rid of it completely. You got to totally get rid of it. Shmuel also says the Alshech, he was capitalizing on this spirit of Kedusha, like the Alshech said in the previous passage. This spirit of Kedusha that was resting upon Klal Yisrael, Shmuel felt that. He saw that, and he wanted to capitalize upon that and make sure that Bnei Yisrael would really do a complete tshuva, as he says, right? In b'chol levavchem atem shavim el Hashem, a complete tshuva. Now, the Malbim fascinatingly says that when it comes to tshuva, so tshuva requires two main steps. The first step is abandoning our evil ways, right? Regretting our evil ways and turning our back on our evil ways. That's one step. And the second step is accepting a better path for the future, right? So I've done sins in the past. I don't want to repeat those sins. I regret them. I'm distancing myself from that path. And I'm makabel upon myself. I'm accepting upon myself to do better in the future, to do better deeds in the future. And the Malbim also says this has to be both in thought and in deed and in action, both in machshava and in maisa. And he says if you look through the pasuk is really describing both of these elements, machshava and maisa, thought and deed, in both regretting and abandoning our past evil ways and accepting a better path for the future. How so? So he says, if you take a look at the pasuk, what does it say? Hasiru es Elohei hanechar mitochechem. So that means he says to abandon the evil thoughts, mitochechem, from within you, meaning from the inner, from your minds, from your hearts, right? Get rid of the Elohei hanechar mitochechem from within you. That's abandoning our evil thoughts that a person, Rachmana Litzon, is thinking to do Avodah Zarah. Get rid of those thoughts. Get rid of that way of thinking. The ha'ashtaros, that's the Avodah Zarah in Maisa indeed. You have to get rid of the actual idols. You have to take action. You can't just think about it, but you have to take action as well. That's preparing your thoughts, preparing your heart and your mind for the future, that you want to have a better path for the future. The ivduhu, and serve Hashem, meaning, again, an action for the future. So we have thought in the past and the future. We have action in the past and the future. And when you do tshuva, says the Malbim, that's the conclusion of the pasuk, v'yatzel eschem yad plishtim, that this will save you from the plishtim. Because when you do tshuva, then automatically that will save you from the plishtim. Why? Because as we know throughout these Sfarim, throughout Yehoshua and Shoftim and Shmuel, the only reason why Bnei Yisrael are subjugated and persecuted by the nations of the world, it's because of our sins. When we do tshuva, when we don't sin, so then we'll be fine. They're not going to persecute us. They're not going to oppress us. We've seen that throughout the last several Sfarim in Navi. So therefore, automatically, it's going to save you from the plishtim. Okay, Pasuk Dalet. So Bnei Yisrael listen. They respond to Shmuel and they listen. Vayasiru Bnei Yisrael es haba'olim es ha'ashtaros. They remove, they get rid of all of the Avodah Zarah, they get rid of all of the idols and the getchkas. Vayavdu es Hashem levada. And they serve Hashem alone. They serve Hashem alone. Now the Malbim says here, you know, the Pasuk only testifies to what they did in action. It doesn't testify to what their thoughts were. It testifies to what they did in action. Why? Because the thoughts, that's for Hashem to judge. The Navi can tell us what they did. They got rid of the Avodah Zarah, right? They did that. Those were the deeds. Those were the actions that they did. The tshuva that they did in their minds and in their hearts, that's for the Ribono Shel Olam. The Navi can't tell us that they did that. That's for the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay. Pasuk Hey. Vayomer Shmuel, Kivtzu es kol Yisrael hamitzvah. So listen to this. So Shmuel, it's not just enough. Shmuel's a real leader here. It's not just enough that he's giving them Musar, right? It's not just enough that he's telling them that they're doing something wrong and how to do it better. It's not just that. Kivtzu es kol Yisrael hamitzvah. Gather everyone to come to mitzvah. To come to mitzvah. Now, if you remember, Radak points this out, that mitzvah was the place, right? We've seen mitzvah in the past in Navi. Since Sefer Yehoshua, we've been talking about this place, mitzvah. Okay? Now, this place, mitzvah, I want everybody to gather there. As the Radak says, mitzvah was a place, that was the place where Yehoshua defeated the kings. If you remember the story with all these kings who ganged up against Yehoshua, Yehoshua miraculously defeated all these kings, of course, with Hashem's help. That happened at mitzvah. Once that happened, mitzvah became a place of tefillah. It became a place of karbanos. It became a place of tefillah. It became like a shul, like a shtibel or a little mishkan not the mishkan proper. The mishkan wasn't there, but in mitzvah it became a makom tefillah. It became a special place of tefillah. Shmuel is coming and telling everyone, I want everyone to gather in mitzvah. The espalel ba'adchem el Hashem. Beautiful. What's Shmuel saying? I'm gonna daven for you. I'm gonna daven for you. Right? That's what he's saying. I'm not just gonna knock you over the head. I'm not just gonna tell you all the things you're doing wrong, but I'm gonna daven to help you. Such a beautiful pasuk. Here, the leader is davening for his tzibur. Right? I remember there was a story. I can't remember the name of the god. It may have been Rav Aaron Leib Stein from Bnei Brak. But there was a story that a certain principal came to him to discuss a child that was problematic. His behavior was problematic in school. And he was setting a bad example for the other kids, and the principal was trying to figure out, should he throw him out of the school? Should he not? What should he do? Throw a kid like that out of the school, he might end up on the streets. So Rav Aaron Leib Steinman says, what's the child's Hebrew name? Meaning, and his mother's name. So the principal looks at him and says, I don't know, the kid's name is Chaim, but I don't know his mother's name. So Rav Aaron Leib Steinman looks at him incredulously. You don't know his mother's name? A kid like that who's going through such a tough time, you're not davening for him? You're not davening for this kid? How could it be? He says, of course you can't throw him out. First, you got to daven for him. See what that does. Okay, we'll come back. After you daven for him, we'll come back and we'll talk and we'll revisit the situation. But he couldn't believe it. How could you not be davening? How could you not be davening for your Talmidim? Right? So Shmuel Anavi, he's not just coming up and giving a Moshe Shmuz and banging them over the head that you're doing Avodah Zarah and you got to do better and you got to do tshuva. He's doing that. That's his job as a shofet. But he's also the Eskalo Ba'adchem El Hashem. Come, let's gather together in mitzvah. I'm gonna daven for you to Hashem. I'm gonna daven for you. Oh, okay. The Radak points out here also, just technically, if you remember, the Aron was in Shiloh, right? When the Aron was captured by the Plishtim, the Mishkan and the Aron were in Shiloh. Once the Aron was captured by the Plishtim and removed from Shiloh, the Mishkan and Shiloh essentially became disbanded. Okay, it was no longer a functional Mishkan. There's no Aron, right? So it's missing the Kedusha. It wasn't the proper Mishkan at that time. And the Ohel Moed, which was the tent of meeting, right? The Ohel Moed, so that was moved to a place called Nov. Okay, later it's going to be moved to a place called Givon, which we'll learn about. But right now, the Ohel Moed was in Nov. The Mishkan and Shiloh was kind of defunct at this point. The Ohel Moed was in Nov. The Aron, as we learned, was in Kiryas Yearim. And now they have the ability to gather in mitzvah, and that's going to be a makom tefillah. I'm just going to share my screen one more time with you. Back to that map, just to show you. This was Perek Vav. Let's go to Perek Zion, just to show you a little bit of the places here. Okay, so I'm going to zoom in a little. Okay, so again, here we have on the left side of the screen, we have Gat and Ekron. Right? These are the Plishti cities. We have Kiryas Yearim, which is a little bit more centrally located here. And this is where the Aron is now. Mitzvah is a little bit north. Seems to be a question exactly where Mitzvah was. It was definitely northeast of Kiryas Yearim. Question if it was here or here. And Gilgal, if you remember, all the way to the right, to the east. So this was Gilgal. This was where the Mishkan was as soon as it came into Eretz Yisrael, right? As soon as Yehoshua came in, the first place that the Mishkan was in Gilgal, and then it moved from there. So that's where we are right now, right? We're in the Aron is in Kiryas Yearim. Shmuel is gathering everyone in mitzvah, which is either here or here. and that's what he wants to. He wants them together there so that he can daven for them. Okay, pasuk vav. Back to the psukim.
Why didn't the people take the aron to the aron moed right away? Why there is
one more time?
Why wouldn't the people have taken the aron to the aron moed or vice versa right away?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Why did they just take it back to the aron moed and bring it? You know, essentially rededicate the mishkan. Rededicate the mishkan. Why did they put it instead in Kiryas Yearim and keep it separate? I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. I didn't see any of the Mepharshim talking about it, but it's a very good question. I have to look into that. I'm not sure. Okay. So Pasuk Vav, Vayikov to Amitzpasa. So all of Bnei Yisrael, they gather in Mitzvah. Vayish Avu Mayim, Vayish Bichu Lifnei Hashem. And the Pasuk says that they drew water and they spilled it out before Hashem. Now we'll see what that means. We'll see what that means in a minute. Vayatsumu Bayom Ahu, they fasted that day. And they said, we've sinned to Hashem. And Shmuel is judging Bnei Yisrael in Mitzvah. Okay? Now, though that last phrase seems to be completely unrelated. The whole first part of the Pasuk seems to be talking about doing tshuva. Right? They did vidui, they fasted, they did vidui. You know, the part about the water is strange. We have to figure out what that means with the water. And then the end is strange. What Shmuel, you know, why is this relevant here that Shmuel is judging them in mitzvah? So first of all, in terms of the water, so there are different interpretations. Targum Yonasan, Pashup Shat, says Rashi, is that they did exactly what the pasuk says. They drew water and they spilled it out. And he says this was symbolic that they were being machnia themselves. They were subduing themselves and subjugating themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their tshuva. And then they were doing this ritual with the water, almost as a symbolic gesture of just like we're pouring out the water, which is just falling to the ground. That's what we're doing also. We're being machnia. We're subjugating ourselves to the will of Hashem, to the Ratzon Hashem. Then Rashi also brings the Targum Yonasan, who says that no, it means that they spilled their hearts out in tshuva. It doesn't mean, it's not meant to be taken literally that they're really spilling water. It means that they spilled their hearts out in tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Alshech and others understand that it means they cried. The Malbim, the Alshech understands, Vayishavu Mayim, Vayishbuchu Lifnei Hashem, they drew water, meaning they drew from within them the water and they poured it out before Hashem, meaning they were crying, right? They were praying and crying and davening to Hashem, pouring their hearts out, like we say, right? Pouring your heart out. That's what they were doing, like water. And they're doing tshuva, right? They're fasting, they're doing vidui. As we said, they're doing all of these things. What's Vayishpo Shmuel as Bnei Yisrael ba Mitzvah? Why are we concluding with this? So the Radak seems to understand that Shmuel actually was punishing people for the sins that they had done. Right? They confessed to certain sins, and Shmuel was punishing them. You know, let's say a guy confessed that he was a ganav, that he stole from someone. So Shmuel says, okay, you gotta return it. Right? If you stole, you have to return it in order to do tshuva. And the Malbim along those lines says that the whole first part of the pasuk is talking about the bin adam la mako, right? That they're crying out to Hashem, they're doing vidui, they're fasting. That's all bin adam la mako. The end of the pasuk is referring to the bin adam la chavero, because in order to do tshuva for bin adam la chavero, you have to right the wrong. But again, if you stole from someone, you have to give it back. You know, if you did something else, you have to right the ship. You have to right the wrong. You have to make good on what you did wrong. So that's how the Mepharshim understand the end of that pasuk is the Ben Adam la Makom, is the Ben Adam la Chaver. I'm sorry. Okay, pasuk Zayin, Vayishmu Plishtim ki yiskavtu bnei Yisrael amitzvasa. Now listen to this. This is a major miscommunication. Plishtim here that bnei Yisrael are all gathering in mitzvah. Okay, now when the enemy hears that the Jews are all gathering in mitzvah, what do they think? War. They're coming out to fight. They're gathering for battle. Now, in reality, they were gathering to daven. They were gathering so that Shmuel could daven for them, right? But the Plishtim here, the Jews are gathering. They must be getting ready to attack. They must be getting ready to fight, okay? And therefore, Vayalu Sarnei Plishtim El Yisrael. So therefore, the officers, right, the officers, the governors of the Plishtim come up against Bnei Yisrael. Vayishmu Bnei Yisrael, Vayirum Bnei Plishtim. And the Bnei Yisrael hear what's going on. They hear all of a sudden that the Plishtim were coming up, that the troops were mobilized. The Plishtim are coming up to fight, and they're afraid. They're afraid. Now, in reality, the Malbim says that this whole thing was HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting, you know, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu moves the chess pieces around. So here, this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting everything into place for the Plishtim to suffer a resounding defeat, which they're going to, they're about to suffer, the Plishtim. So this is all Hashem putting the pieces into place. Not everyone from Bnei Yisrael recognized that. So says the Malbim, when the Pasuk says at the end, Vayiru Mipnei Plishtim, that they feared the Plishtim, that's, those are the Jews that didn't understand exactly what was happening. The Jews that didn't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really behind all of this, they were taka afraid because they see, you know, the Plishti troops are being mobilized against us and they're scared. But in reality, it's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu setting things up for a big Plishti defeat. Pasuk Ches, Vayomru Bnei Yisrael El Shmuel, so Bnei Yisrael tells Shmuel, Al tachareish mimenu, don't stop davening, don't be silent. He's Okel Hashem, right? Don't be silent. Keep screaming out to Hashem Elokeinu. V'yoshienu miyad plishtim. They recognize, we need your tefilos. You know, you're davening for us. That's great. You're davening for us to do tshuva. That's fantastic, right? But we need your continued tefilos in order to be victorious here. The Malbim even says that Shmuel, you know, had davened for Bnei Yisrael, and he was confident in his tefilos, and it sounds like he almost stopped davening. You know, I davened for Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva, and that's it. But Bnei Yisrael begged him to continue davening. We need you to continue davening. Now here, the Malbim adds one also fascinating insight. And he says, based on the previous pasuk, that since Vayiru Mipnei Plishtim, since there were people in Bnei Yisrael that were scared, so says the Malbim, that if we're scared, that means that there's a little bit of a lack of trust in Hashem. If you trust Hashem wholeheartedly, there's nothing to be scared of, right? I always give the mashal like a child, trust their parent, right? I take my kid's hand and I walk across peninsula. My kid is scared to, I mean, most of my kids are scared to walk across peninsula, not the three-year-old, right? But the other kids are scared to walk across peninsula. But if they're holding my hand, they're fine because they trust me. If we really trusted Hashem, really, really trusted Hashem, we wouldn't be scared of our enemies. There's nothing to be afraid of. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect us. Right? So if we really trust Hashem, we have nothing to be afraid of. Vayiru mipnei plishtim, Vayiru mipnei plishtim means that there's a little bit of a lack of bitachon, there's a little bit of lack of trust in Hashem. If there's a little bit of a lack of trust, then Bnei Yisrael recognize we're not going to be matzliach in battle. Because if we don't trust Hashem fully, we're not going to have the zchus, we're not going to have the merit to be really successful in battle. And therefore, we need a complete Yeshua from Hashem. Our Yishtablus here is not really going to help much because we have a lack of bitach. So we need the Yeshua to come completely from Hashem, which is the whole thing is a little bit strange because they have a lack of bitach. And yet they're asking for Yeshua from Hashem. So they have bitach, but there's something there that's eating away at their bitach. So they say, we're not going to be able to be matzliach on our own. And the pasuk in Dvarim, if you remember the pasuk in Dvarim Perek Chaf, where the Mashuach Milchama, the Kohen, he was in charge of the pep rally. Before war, he got all the soldiers ready for battle. So what would they say? They would say, but anybody who's not ready for battle should head on home, right? And the pasuk says, Yehoish Hayare V'racha Levav. If someone is afraid, someone is soft-hearted, Yelech V'yashav Leveso, you should go back home. And don't let your weakness of heart impact the other soldiers. Don't let it weaken the morale of the other soldiers. And Rashi brings a machlokas tanoim here. Mihoish hayorei v'racha leivav. Is he afraid? Is this soldier afraid because of averos that he's done? Or is he afraid just because he's just afraid? He's afraid of the other army. And according to that opinion, if he's afraid of the other army, it sounds like the Kohen tells him, go home. If you're afraid, go home. You can't be on the battlefield if you're afraid. You need to have bitachon Hashem. Number one, it's going to impact the morale of the other soldiers. But also, it sounds like from here that you're going to have a lack of schus. If you don't really have bitachon Hashem, if you're afraid, you're not going to have the same schus that's going to enable you to be successful in battle. Okay, pasuk tes. Vayikach Shmuel telei chalav echad. So Shmuel brings a young nursing sheep. A young nursing sheep. Vaya'alehu ola kalil Hashem, and he brings him as a korban to Hashem, the Ad Yisrael, on behalf of Klal Yisrael, vaya'anehu Hashem, and Hashem answers him. Radak points out here that Shmuel was allowed to do this, even though, again, we had a Mishkan, right? We had a Mishkan in Shiloh, but nonetheless, Shmuel was allowed to do this because, again, like we said, once the Aron was moved, the Mishkan in Shiloh was now defunct, and a Bama, which is essentially a Mizbeach outside of the Mishkan, is permitted, is allowed. However, says the Radak, you need a Navi to start that. You need a Navi to start that. So Shmuel was the first one to bring a Karban on a Bama after the Mishkan was defunct. He set up this Mizbeach and he brought this Karban. This was kind of like sanctifying the Bama, that the Bama was allowed. And apparently, the Radak says that as long as the Ohel Moed was in Nov and then it was moved to Givon, as long as it was in Nov and Givon, the Bamos were permitted. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built, obviously, so then the Bamos were no longer permitted. And even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Bamos are now off limits. We do not bring Karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And he says the same thing happened when the Mishkan was in Gilgal. So after it left Gilgal, again, a Bama was allowed, but Yehoshua was the first one to bring a Karban outside of the Mishkan. So you need a Navi to start that. Now, the Pasuk says, Vayaneu Hashem, that Hashem answered him. Hashem responded to him. In what way did he answer him? So here the Mefarshim, the Radak, and others explain that one of two things happened. It's not clear in the Pasuk, so they're suggesting one of two things happened. Either a fire came down from heaven and consumed the Ola, consumed the Karban, and that was a clear sign, like we have by Eliyahu and another people. That was a clear sign that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was listening to Shmuel. Or he says, if you stay tuned for the next couple of psukim, you'll see maybe the Vayaneu Hashem. So let's read that now. Pasuk Yud, Vayihi Shmuel Malei HaOla. So Shmuel is in the process of bringing this Ola. Uplishtim Nigshula Milchama BiYisrael. Uplishtim are coming out to battle. They're coming out to war, coming out to battle against Klal Yisrael. What happens? Something miraculous. Vayar'eim Hashem b'kol gadol b'yom hahu al plishtim. All of a sudden, there's a loud sound. We don't know exactly what this is, but a very loud sound. Vayar'eim Hashem b'kol gadol. A very loud sound. With the plishtim. Vayehumeim. And it totally throws them into pandemonium. The plishtim get scared out of their wits by this loud sound, by Yinogfu Lifnei Yisrael, and they become the victims of Bnei Yisrael. The Radak says what this means is that even the sound itself just defeated them. As soon as they heard this sound, it's like pandemonium broke out. They all started running. Okay, some of them it sounds like may have even died from the shock of hearing this loud sound, and they were defeated before Bnei Yisrael didn't even lift a weapon. They didn't do anything. Right, automatically the plishtim are already done. The Malbim points out that if you remember the pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Zayin, the pasuk says that when Moshe comes to Ohel Moed, so the pasuk says Vayishma es hakol midaber elav me'al kaporas, that Moshe would hear the voice of Hashem speaking to him from the kaporas, which was the lid covered to the aron. Now Rashi says Vayishma es hakol. So Rashi says that we know, the Pasuk says, Kol Hashem Shover Arozim, that the voice of Hashem is powerful. It can, you know, it can smash cedar trees. It's a powerful voice. And the voice of Hashem that came to Har Sinai was also a powerful voice. So what's this voice that's coming out of the Ohel Moed, that's coming, you know, Me'al HaKapores? So Rashi says that this was really Hashem's powerful voice, but it would stop by the Pesach. Only Moshe would hear it, and he would hear it in a softer way, I guess, and then it wouldn't travel out. Nobody outside the Ohel Moed heard it, even though it was a loud sound. So it says the Malbim that this powerful voice of Hashem, here he did not restrict it. When it came to the Plishtim, boom, Hashem just let it loose. Kol Hashem Shomer Arozen. He let loose this loud, loud sound and just totally destroyed the Plishtim camp. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayetsu Anshe Yisrael min haMitzpah vayirdefu es Plishtim vayakum ad mitachas laveis kar. So the Bnei Yisrael see what's happening. They see that the Plishti camp is in disarray. Perfect. Time to pounce. Bnei Yisrael gives chase. They go and chase the Plishtim. And they at that point they start beating the Plishtim. They start killing the Plishtim. And they get to this place called just below Beis Kar. Pasuk Yud-Beis, Vayikach Shmuel Evan Achas, so Shmuel takes a stone, Vayasem Bein HaMitzvah Uvein HaShem, and he places it between Mitzvah and between Shem. Now Shem, we know in modern Hebrew, means a tooth. This is referring to some sort of a rock structure, may have looked like a tooth, and that's why they called it that. It was like a rock that, you know, maybe like a mountain or a rock that was jutting out. And they called it a Shem. Vayikra Shma Evan HaOzer. They called this place Evan HaOzer, Vayomar, and they said, Adhena Azaronu Hashem. So why is he doing this? So this says the Asher. He's doing this because he wants, I'm sorry, so the Malvin says this, that the goal here was that people should remember this miracle, this incredible miracle of Hashem destroying the Plishti camp with his loud sound. So we need to remember this miracle. So we make a monument. But the monument was the way to remember the miracle, to remember the great Nace. And what does it mean, Adhena Azaronu Hashem? Until here, Hashem helped us? What does that mean? So the Tzudas Tavit says no. It says until here was completely miraculous, meaning that Bnei Yisrael did not lay a hand on them until this point, until this area that he called Evan HaAzer. Until that point, Bnei Yisrael did not lay a hand on the Plishtim. Once they got to that point, the Plishtim were running, they got to that point, now Bnei Yisrael started defeating them. Okay, just to go back for a moment to the map so we see what's going on. So again, here we have mitzvahs either here or here. This is the camp of Bnei Yisrael. The Plishtim are fleeing west because they're going to the Plishti cities, Ekron and Gass are west. So they're fleeing west. Bnei Yisrael is chasing them. Nothing happens until Evan Ezer. This is the place called Evan Ezer or Evan HaAzer. At this place, this is where Bnei Yisrael catch the Plishtim and start defeating them. And this is where Shmuel erects this monument. In honor of the great Nace that took place. Okay? Okay, back to the Pesukim. One other fascinating thing is that the Al-Sheikh says, and we actually encountered another idea like this from the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh says that the way that Hashem usually works when it comes to Bnei Yisrael fighting one of the nations of the world is that every nation has a Sar. Every nation has an angel in heaven. We discussed this with Mitzrayim, if you remember, a few weeks back. And every nation has its Tsar, has its angel. Hashem first defeats the angel. He first defeats the Tsar. Once that angel in the heavens is defeated, so now Bnei Yisrael have the ability to defeat the nation here on earth. That's the way it happens. First Hashem defeats the Tsar, the angel, and then Bnei Yisrael can defeat the nation here on earth. So here, what happens, says the Al-Sheikh miraculously, is that Hashem did both. Hashem defeated the angel of the Plishtim up in Shemayim, but then Hashem didn't just leave the Plishti army for Bnei Yisrael to defeat. Hashem went and defeated them himself with this kol gadol, with this loud noise. Hashem defeated them himself. The Al-Sheikh proves this from a pasuk in Vezos HaBracha. The pasuk says, Me'ona Eloi Kedem, Umitachas Ra'o Solam, Vayigarsh miponecha oyev, vayomer hashmeid. So he says the end of that pasuk. Vayigarsh miponecha oyev, that Hashem drives away the oyev from before us. That means that he defeats the Tsar, the angel in the heavens. And then vayomer hashmeid, then Hashem says, oh, once I did that, now you go. Now you, Bnei Yisrael, go hashmeid, go and destroy your enemy here on earth. That's how it generally works. But again, here it was completely miraculous. Okay, pasuk Yud Gimel. So the Plishtim were now completely subdued to Bnei Yisrael. They no longer dared encroach upon the land of Bnei Yisrael. And the hand of Hashem was strong around over the Plishtim the entire lifetime of Shmuel. All the Mefarshim say here that this is not entirely accurate. This is really Kol is to be interpreted loosely here. It means the majority of the years of Shmuel, not the entire life of Shmuel, because towards the end of Shmuel's life, we find that the Plishtim did begin to make a comeback, and that was because, says the Radak, Shmuel was very old. Shmuel was old. He wasn't able to, or I shouldn't say he wasn't very old, because he died at 52, so he wasn't very old. But he was older than he was now, and he wasn't able to circulate around all the cities in the same way that he could do when he was younger. He couldn't go around giving everybody Musar, and therefore they sinned. So when they sinned, as we're going to learn, they asked for a king. says the Radak, they needed a king when they sinned. Hashem wasn't very happy because Hashem didn't want them to have a king, but once they sinned, they really needed one. But we'll learn about that when we get to that. But the pasuk says that the Plishtim never came again into the Gvul Yisrael, and Vatiyar Hashem means that even when Bnei Yisrael went into their land to defeat them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled them to defeat them. And most of this time they were successful. The Malbim points out that a shofet and a king really have a dual role. They have, number one, a military role that they need to defend Bnei Yisrael from their enemies, and they also have a government role, right, where they have to run the nation. They have to run, you know, the civic part of Klal Yisrael. So this pasuk refers to the Shmuel the shofet serving in the commander in chief role, right, where he kept the Plishtim at bay throughout his lifetime. Okay, pasuk Yudalit. All the cities that the Plishtim had taken from Bnei Yisrael were now returned to Bnei Yisrael. So Radak points out that in Sefer Yehoshua, so it describes that when Yehuda conquered the land of the Plishtim, Yehuda conquered these cities. The Plishtim then conquered them back from Bnei Yisrael. When Bnei Yisrael sinned, the Plishtim were able to conquer them back. Now in the times of Shmuel, Bnei Yisrael are now regaining possession of those cities that Yehuda had originally conquered when they came into Bnei Yisrael. May Ekron v'ad Gas v'es Gevulon hitzil. So from Ekron and Gas, the entire border was secured. Hitzil Yisrael miyad Plishtim. Yisrael conquered it from the Plishtim. Hi shalom ben Yisrael uvein ha'emori. And there was shalom between Bnei Yisrael and the Emori. Now this also, the Mefarshim point out, seems like a totally random statement. Why are we talking about the Emori here? Right, we're talking about the Plishtim. All of a sudden, we mentioned the Emori. So most of the Mefarshim understand that the Emori, the Radak actually explains, if you look back in Sefer Shoftim, you learn that the Emori were not completely driven out. When Shevet Dan conquered their land, there were still some pockets of Emori that were still left in the land. They were quiet, these people. However, once the Plishtim became more powerful, so the Emori also started acting up and started causing problems for Bnei Yisrael. Now that Bnei Yisrael were defeating the Plishtim, so again, the Emori backed off, and they made peace again with Bnei Yisrael. Pasuk Tes Vav, Yishpot Shmuel es Yisrael kol yimei chayav. Shmuel judged Bnei Yisrael for his entire life. Now again, he died when he was 52, so he didn't live a very long life, and he only served as a shofet for 13 years. So he started again, you know, 52. So he started as a shofet at the age of 39. You know, he wasn't a shofet for all that long, but it means kol yimei chayav means for the rest of his life. That's what it means. And it says the Radak Pashup Shadi was a shofet for the rest of his life, and even after Shaul was appointed king, as we'll learn, the Mitzvah David says Shmuel still acted as shofet for a few years. And here the Malbim says here we're referencing Shmuel's governing of Bnei Yisrael. So the previous pasuk was talking about the commander in chief element. Right, the general, he was the general that defended Bnei Yisrael against their enemies. And here he is managing the internal affairs of Bnei Yisrael by being the shofet. It's interesting, so, you know, the Radak brings a drasha, must be a medrash somewhere, that says, what's kol yimei chayav? It wasn't his whole life. He wasn't a shofet his whole life, only 13 years. So the Radak says, that Chazal say, that Shmuel we know was a Levi. And he says that a Levi, already from the time the Levi's in his mother's womb, he's already being written on the heavenly theater, meaning we already know what role this Levi is going to play in Klal Yisrael. And therefore, even though Shmuel was only a shofet for 13 years, but in terms of his role in Klal Yisrael, he was really active his entire life. Okay, just last two psukim. V'halach midei shana b'shana v'savav beis el v'hagilgal v'hamitzvah. So the pasuk says each and every year Shmuel went and he was mistovev. Right, Shmuel went and he circulated in throughout Eretz Yisrael, Beis El, Gilgal, Mitzvah, all of these places that we talked about, that we saw. Yeshavat Yisrael es kol ha-makomos ha-eile, and he judged Bnei Yisrael in all of these places. The Malbim says something unbelievable here, and he says, why did Shmuel do this? He didn't want to be matriach Klal Yisrael. Right, he had to be shofet, he had to judge them. He didn't want to be matriach them. Which to me is something just unbelievable that here you have a shofet who could very easily say, you know, listen, you come to me, right? I'm the shofet. You know, B'nai Yisrael, you need a din Torah. You need to come to me, right? No, the real Jewish leader, he didn't want to be matriach them. He went to them, right? He went to them. So again, you know, Klal Yisrael's perspective, they should want to go to him also. But Shmuel, that was him as a Jewish leader that he went to them. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Uchuvaso Haramasa Kisham Beso. When he would return to Ramah, that's where his house was. Bisham Shavat Yisrael, there too, he was Shofet Klal Yisrael, but even Sham Yisbeach Hashem, and he built a Mizbeach to Hashem there where he could offer his thanksgivings. The Radak says Pashup Shak is that he would only circulate in those cities. Again, you look at Tezayin, it only mentions three cities, Beis El, Gilgal, and Mitzvah. So the Radak says that he didn't circulate throughout the whole Eretz Yisrael. That would have been too much. He circulated in those three cities, which were three major cities. They were closer to where he lived. Anybody who would have lived further, they would have to come to Shmuel. He couldn't just schlep, you know, all over Eretz Yisrael. So they would have to come to him in Ramah. And Al-Sheikh says also something amazing, right? He went home, Bisham Shavat Yisrael. He didn't go home to rest, right? No rest for the weary. He was the Shofet. He was always working for Klal Yisrael. When he went home, he was also working. And then, of course, the Radak mentions Chazal that say Kisham Beso, that everywhere he went, Kisham Beso, he brought his house with him. What does that mean? That means he didn't rely on Klal Yisrael. He didn't ask for favors. And a Jewish leader, even if he's going places, he's not asking for favors. He had the food that he needed. Maybe he had a tent where he could pitch his tent and he could have lodging. He didn't ask for favors from people, you know, as he was traveling around doing Klal Yisrael's work. He didn't ask for favors. So we see also the selflessness of Shmuel as a Jewish leader. Number one, traveling to B'nai Yisrael, not to be matriach them, focusing on them even when he came home, not resting, but continuing to be shofet B'nai Yisrael, and always worrying about himself and not accepting favors from people because he wanted to make sure that he was self-sufficient, that he was doing things, and he didn't owe people anything. Okay, this is the end of Perek Zayin. Amir Tashem, next week, we will continue with Perek Ches.